man, I apologize for the delay there, sir.
Hey, that's quite all right. I'm glad to be here. I love the story about the garbage man.
Now, had you heard it? Are you just hearing us discussing it here, or have you heard it just watching the news?
I was just watching the news, but, you know, the way you guys handled it, I thought was great.
Yeah, well, here's what's very interesting. Now, you're on here. I booked this yesterday. Have you come on? Talk about how political slogans influence the vote. I mean, it doesn't get more timely than that. Can you see a slogan being born out of this? You know, there's a bumper sticker. I see Obama knows his garbage man.
I'm thinking of one that's called Time to Take Out the Trash.
You know, I mean, this is, and I know mine right there was pro-Obama, but I'm just trying to say that's what they're doing. They're seizing, or like you said, do you know your garbage man or what have you? Now, do you know off the top of your head, have you done research as far as this is concerned? Political slogans, Vin, here's the one, research says.
Let me tell you how political slogans work. The answer to your question is, no, there's no one political slogan that works for everybody.
Okay.
So there are multiple ones that they use, and they put themes around them. And part of the secret of what politicians try to do, they try to find the slogans that captures the most people, particularly in this election, the swing voters.
Right.
That's who they're going for. And the people that help them design that are the top experts on Madison Avenue. Because this is the greatest advertising campaign in the world,
sure,
is the U.S. American political presidential elections. And they're going after you. The whole idea is to persuade people to vote for them, tell their other friends to vote for them, to give them money, and to help work for them in the political campaign. They're trying to do an awful lot with those slogans.
Right. And now, what do you see as the most effective one in recent years, I guess, or maybe in history?
Well, the most effective slogan, there's no really one effective one, but there's a style that works, and the style is the problem.
I would just jump in, too, and say, I mean, right off the top of my head, I know I'm going back in time here, but what was it? I like Ike.
Yeah, I like Ike.
You know, I mean, that was clever and resonated.
Yeah, what's really cool is that you remember the positive ones, okay, but that's not how politics works in America.
Yeah, that's interesting, yeah.
The bulk of the political campaign is 90% negative.
Sure, good, yeah.
Okay, and they find out that if you're a nice guy and only speak positive things, you don't get elected, or you don't get reelected. So that what you're buried with continually through the process is all these negative advertisements, and the negatives usually longer. A typical political ad is one statement. I'll pick one, say forward, and then the rest of it is all negative stuff.
Right.
Okay, and all of that, what that does is it causes the listeners, whether they're aware of it or not, is to go into fear.
Yeah.
When you go into fear, you get into the classic response, your creativity goes down, you start getting angry at anything and everybody, you get frustrated, you start finding fault with people, and you deny you have any responsibility.
Yeah.
That's what happens in the process of a negative campaign. And the more negative it is, then what people do is they don't think anymore, and then they're looking for their savior to come save them. And that process destroys your self-identity. And that's how I got into it. I got into the process of slogans, understanding how they work. Really, the big time for me was one day I was feeling really good, life was really great. Everything was going good. I got called to my boss's office, and I went in happy and came out numb.
Yeah, and numb, that's it. Yeah.
And before I had a chance to even get down the hallway, another vice president comes up to me and he says, "Better men than you have tried to turn that plant around. So long it's been nice knowing you."
Wow.
And so that was really a double load on me right then and there. And then the third thing, of course, was the people at the plant already knew me and didn't like me. Wow. So, but my job was to turn them around, and not only me, but it depended upon, there was a whole town depended upon it, and all the suppliers, the thousands of people were impacted by this thing.
Yeah.
And I knew that if I went in there and got them into more fear, it wouldn't work, because here was their general attitude. They were in fear, anger, denial, and fault-finding. And the only way out for them was to get out of fear, to face the facts, to move into creativity and own the problem to fix it. And no matter what I did, I couldn't throw them into any more limiting fear, because this was a technical problem. It was science and engineers. The only people on the planet who knew anything about it were these guys. I couldn't bring in other people. So the first key was for me to keep myself from falling into fear and anger. And for that, I did what I'd done for years. I got on my knees. I started to seek the Lord for it. And the second was not to drive them into more fear, how to treat them in a way that caused them to rise up and not go down. So with
That's interesting. You know, I just want to jump in again. We're on with Donald Mann. He's a scientist as well as a business growth expert. I mean, when you refer to religion as and we had you on to talk slogans and the effect of slogans, I don't think there's more effective, again, going back to bumper stickers, even though they're a bit passe right now, than ones tied to religion. I could think of a slew of the what would Jesus do? It was one of the most powerful in the last decade.
last two centuries.
I'd say so. and I don't know if we do. I don't know. Is one day at a time, is that tied directly to religion, or has that become more a mantra of those trying to beat substance abuse?
It's combined. Remember, even substance abuse, you need help from somewhere else.
Sure.
Okay? And so all of that is designed. Here's how the human brain works. You have your subconscious mind, which actually operates 95% of your life. And it operates by sending up to you slogans and affirmations and proverbs for you to deal with every event during the day. And those are all what's been written in the past. So, for example, when I went into that plant, I had to deal with not just the things in front of us, but I had to deal with people who were already entrenched in the way they were thinking.
Sure.
Okay? And so that what I did, of course, was I started to put myself into my own program so that I wouldn't mess up. Right? Better men than me had already failed.
Right.
So I had, what could I do not to mess up? So I started getting my head straight with the Lord. And what I did was I developed a program for myself that I then put in the book called Okay, God, Now What? And it was 15 years later before I understood the science of how it works. I gave the material to a friend of mine who had just come back from Iraq. He's a veteran, but he wasn't doing well. His was struggling. His marriage was struggling. He was in sales. It wasn't working well. And he'd been a minister in church for years. So I gave him the book. He saw immediately how scriptural it was. He started doing it. And here's what he said. Before, I was like a piece of paper being blown around by the wind. No matter what happened, I was up against the wall. All of a sudden, inside of me started to get planted a rock. And I felt like I was on a flagpole. I was flapping in the wind, but I wasn't going anywhere. I was solid. And it transformed everything in my life. That's what the program does, and okay, God, now what?
Wow.
It changes your self-identity into what you were created for.
Yeah, that must have made you, especially since he was a friend. And again, if folks want, they can go to okaygodnowwhat.com. Let me ask you this, though, in closing, and again, it's Donald Mann. I wanted to just, I'm sitting here discussing slogans. I know we started with political slogans, and I got to tell you, I do a talk show every day, 6 to 9, right now, I can't think of the slogans for the. I can't think of a Mitt Romney slogan. I can't think of an Obama slogan, and I would know the. So either they're not doing their job, the slogans that is, or what are they? What's the?
I don't think they've either one have found the ones that connect for them.
No.
But right now, Obama's is called Forward.
Okay.
And right. Romney's is called Believe in America.
And as far as the former is concerned, and that's what Obama, I know brevity has been his style with regard to slogans before. I don't think of hope and change as a slogan, and I don't think of the word forward as a slogan, so that's why I didn't necessarily gravitate to that.
Okay, well, actually, slogans run the gamut of length. Actually, the Pledge of Allegiance to America is a slogan in terms of the definition of what a slogan does.
All right.
Fair okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought that, And especially in this day and age, when I think of the forward, as far as the president is concerned, I would think, oh, that's a keyword, that's a hashtag, that's, I think of everything other than slogan.
Right, well, the key to all of that is, it's no different than advertising of any kind, is that if you want to be able to make intelligent decisions with your mind creative, you have to have a strong self-identity.
Yeah.
And there's no greater self-identity than God gives through what Jesus did. So that's what the book focuses on, how to do that. And for anybody who contacts me on my website, okaygodnowwhat.com, I'll give them a free list of the top 10 affirmations to get them started, getting their mind straight and their self-identity stronger.
I could use help on all of those fronts. Again, I'd like to thank Donald C. Mann for joining us on the project. And you heard him say right there, it's okaygodnowwhat.com.